Welcome back to the Villain Edit, where two allegedly smart people talk about the dumb television shows they watch. I am one of them. I'm Monty Ashley.
And I'm Rias Hall.
She's the other one.
Yeah, keep going.
So let's talk about our introduction. I think it's going pretty well so far, don't you?
Oh yeah, it's great.
I feel bad that we call them dumb television shows.
Because they're not all dumb television. Some of them are dumb. Okay, that one we watched where those people were stuck on an island and they had to fight for $1 million, that was a dumb television
show.
Yeah,
but we don't actually watch that one regularly. We just check in and out. And I'm starting to feel bad about the way the introduction distances us from the shows that I genuinely enjoy and I think they are worth watching and talking about.
I kind of agree with that. When I'm describing these shows to my friends ad nauseum, I don't want to tell them, I don't like to launch off with, I saw the stupidest show.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like I'm being unfair to the shows.
I totally agree with that.
In many cases.
So, before we get into the shows that are the meat of this episode, I want to do a couple quick scheduling notes. First, The Amazing Race is back.
Woo, it's amazing.
I like The Amazing Race.
I do too. I've always enjoyed it.
I once flew to New York City, and one of the reasons was to attend a party, a TARCON. That's a party for the final episode of The Amazing Race.
I remember when you went to that.
I also stuck around for like 9 days in New York and saw a bunch of shows, including the first New York preview of Spamalot.
Nerd.
Listen. So, The Amazing Race is back. It's been away for a while. We're happy to see it. I don't think we're going to be covering it on this show just because it's kind of too big for us.
It is. There's so many teams that it would take up the whole show to update you on what everybody's doing. But we're going to talk a little bit about what the basic premise is this year because I think it's neat.
Yeah, they do gimmicks sometimes. There was the family season.
Ugh.
There was the Will Anybody Find Love season. That's every season.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. The answer is usually no, they won't.
Yeah.
They're miserable.
They might still be talking to each other at the end of the race. This season, the gimmick is total strangers. Everybody was assigned, not quite assigned randomly, but half the people got to pick who they would be partnered with, and nobody'd met each other.
But
before.
Yeah, it was all people who have never met before. And they took turns, I think, drawing lots or something, and then they each got to pick a person, another person they'd never met and knew nothing about to be on their team. Now, this season, there's a lot of police and firemen there.
And military.
It seems like most of the teams have at least one first responder on them.
Yeah. I kind of like their descriptions will be like, single mom. But she's also a police officer.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me that they're doing this with strangers because one of the interesting things about The Amazing Race usually is, can this relationship survive this experience? And it kind of reminds me of a television show I watched in 2000 called Cannonball Run.
That was a TV show?
Yes, it was a reality show called Cannonball Run. And the way it worked was they started off with pairs that already knew each other, like a pair of Ugandan rappers, and they all had fancy cars, and they would race from checkpoint to checkpoint, and had some very mild sabotaging your opponent's cars element. But then after a couple legs, they added someone, like the rappers got an old, crusty redneck added. Now they were called Hip Hop and Pop.
Ugh.
And the gimmick was supposed to be, can these mismatched teams hold it together? And as I remember, Hip Hop and Pop just said, hey, how you doing? Hi, old man. You want to win this thing? Damn right I do. And then they just crushed it. It was great.
Okay. Well, good for Hip Hop and Pop.
It was like a 6-episode series that did not take itself at all seriously. And I thought it was fun. And this new season of Amazing Race is kind of reminding me of that.
It does remind me a little bit of that show I've never seen also.
The other quick programming note is that Forged in Fire is coming back next week.
We are very excited about this.
I love Forged in Fire.
The next week's show, they have to make knives out of old golf club parts. They have to use the steel, apparently, in the golf club handles because it looked like they were getting woods.
Yeah. Well, it's not the super high-tech, like titanium and carbon.
No, they were, these were the quality of golf clubs you pick up at your local Goodwill.
Yeah. Also, just on the topic of Forge and Fire, I was watching some Forge and Fire reruns last week.
Oh.
And they showed the All-Star episode where they had to make claymores for the second time.
Oh, that was amazing.
It's my favorite moment in Forge and Fire, because the first time two guys made claymores, they were got to the point where Doug Marcaida is going to chop through a whole pig. The first claymore bends.
It just hits the pig, and it's like spring steel. It just wraps around. You can almost hear the boing sound effect.
Actually, I think you can hear that thanks to the editors.
Thanks, guys.
Then the second guy, Doug Marcaida, takes his sword, winds up, big baseball swing, breaks the sword.
Yeah, one sword is too brittle, one is not brittle enough.
So in this episode, it's all stars. It's all people who have won before. They come on. The first guy, he's got a lighter claymore because he had to get it real thin. Doug Marcaida takes it, swings, cuts into the pig a little. It wraps around the pig and then springs back.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool in slow motion, but it does not look like you want something you want to see on a field of battle.
Yeah, it kind of looks like you hit something with the side of a rapier. So yeah. Doug Marcaida was very impressed with how well it came back to straightness, but it wasn't quite there. Then the other guy's claymore, he takes it, and we're all thinking about the three other failures. We're thinking immediately
that every other time we've seen a claymore on this show, something tragic has happened.
And
it's always been bad.
He swings the claymore, and it goes through this pig like butter. It's terrifying.
It is absolutely amazing.
Like, at this point, you've become convinced it's impossible to do that. But it's clear, if you got hit with this sword, it would just cleave right through your entire body, and your torso would fall over.
Yeah.
It's like
a horror movie sword.
It looks like a special effect. It's so cool. It's my favorite moment in Forge and Fire, and I'm glad they showed it to get me really excited about the upcoming season.
Yeah.
Now, about the shows that are actually airing right now. Face Off.
Face Off.
Face Off. It's not about the movie Face Off, but it's hard not to say Face Off and do a little hand gesture. In this episode, they had to make representatives to an alien senate, which they were prepared for by going to a local city hall.
Yes.
It looked kind of legislative and it was fine.
I didn't have anything against it. It did not make me think senate, but I guess you could use that for a set if you were filming an intergalactic senate, so I gave it a pass.
And they were given dossiers that were printed on plexiglass, you know, because they're aliens.
Yes. It's
very futuristic. Jumping to the end of it, Evan went home, which, I was expecting Evan to go home, and I am expecting expecting Logan to go home next week, just because they're kind of not up to Sig, George, Emily, and Tyler's level. And I feel bad about saying that, because they're very good, but when Ben and Evan were a team, they were kind of lagging behind.
Yeah, they were.
And Ben went home.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
So the important thing is we're now in individual competition.
Right. Now this bummed George out because he loves working with Sig, who's like his best friend.
Yeah, so George had a little crisis and he handled it very professionally. He went outside and had a smoke next to the dumpster.
Like you do.
And then came back inside and realized he had to work on his own thing, but he made a joke about how, just because we're not on a team doesn't mean we can't help each other. Sig, do the sculpture for me.
Yeah, it was great.
And then later on, George desperately needed to get what he was calling mouth dye to gunk up his model's teeth.
Yeah.
They had 20 seconds to go, and he was running around like a maniac, and Sig was quite properly standing there laughing at him and saying, well, I'd help you, but we're not on the same team, and I couldn't possibly.
I liked how during this whole episode, Sig and George were wearing t-shirts with Ben on it.
Yeah.
Everybody on Sig and George's team.
Evan was wearing one. Even Emily was wearing one at the end. She was never on the same team as Ben.
And that makes me happy. That's like, I like the kind of reality show where the contestants like each other enough to do that.
Yes, everybody
was sad when Ben went home, and usually they're like, ha, I'm a step closer to victory.
Yeah.
No.
That's like my favorite thing about So You Think You Can Dance is when someone is cut, everybody else is sad and just mobs them to,
yeah,
like, soothe them and hug them. It makes me like the people that are left a lot more.
When they're not jerks to their competitors.
Yeah, when they're not like, I'm glad he's gone. He didn't deserve to be here.
It's called good sportsmanship. Look it up.
Yeah. It's what separates this show from, say, an Ink Master.
Those guys are awful and they're so mean to each other.
Ink Master is entirely built on being angry at someone because they don't deserve to be here and also they keep beating you somehow.
Yes, they don't deserve to be here and yet they keep winning. How dare they?
One thing that did bug me in this episode of Face Off a lot was that Logan was working on a religious look and kept saying that he was going to make his alien head look like a priest hat.
There's a word for that.
It's a miter.
It's called a miter.
And you don't.
I know most people don't.
Well, if you don't know what it's called, how accurately are you going to represent its forms?
It's a priest hat. Maybe it was one of those little three-cornered hats like the cardinals wear with the little fluffy balls on them.
Ooh.
Very fancy.
I like those, but it didn't really seem to be what he was making.
It didn't really look like a priest hat. I think he gave up on that idea part of the way through.
Yeah. So Tyler won this episode. He made a really cool, intricate face that I liked a lot.
Yeah. It was kind of tree/insect-y, and the thing I liked about it was that it looked like a character that was old.
Yeah.
It looked like someone who actually had the experience on the Galactic Senate and was pretty tired of everybody's crap.
Both Emily and Sig could have done better painting, I thought. The judges really liked Emily's painting, but on screen, the amount of turquoise she used did not show up much.
Mm-hmm.
This happens a lot on Face Off, where the judges are looking at something from 2 inches away, and we're watching it. Even on an HD TV or something, it doesn't always come across.
We have an HD TV. That's a humble brag.
Everybody has an HD TV.
Oh, man, you're making me feel so old.
So, overall, George was in the bottom. They didn't send him home, of course, because everybody loves him. He would have had to have done really badly to be sent home on his first bad look, but now he's had one bad look, so I'm a little worried if he does.
Worried
bad
about
again.
Him, it will break our heart when Sig or George goes home.
George is very much a team player, which is good because the world of special effects makeup is in fact a team sport. So, we're hoping George pulls it together.
Didn't George make a bug-eyed alien this week?
Yeah.
Yay, old school bug-eyed monster. I liked it.
Two giant hemispheres on either side and the model having to look through the nostril slits.
I liked it a lot, but it was pretty old school and...
They said it looked like a cantina creature, which, by the way, there's nothing wrong with a cantina creature.
No, they were state-of-the-art in their time.
Yeah. Plus, I can still recognize most of the cantina creatures, even though I've seen a million other monster makeups since then. But, like, Hammerhead? Yeah, I know Hammerhead.
Yeah.
That guy's cool.
That elephant with the soft feet?
Yeah.
I know that guy. I do not understand how he plays keyboards.
That weird sneering devil guy?
You know, people are listening to this and they're screaming out the names of the aliens at us. How can you not know the elephant's name?
It's a Jub-Jub, right?
Yeah. Jub-Jub Binks.
All right, let's get to RuPaul's Drag Race, where Cynthia Lee Fontaine has returned to the competition.
And she brought her cuckoo.
All right, I got a theory about Cynthia Lee Fontaine.
All right.
She's playing up that accent.
Oh, yeah, I think she is. She doesn't have it nearly as strongly in her interview segments.
Even in her interview segments, she's accidentally saying wacky misstatements. This is the Sofia Vergara, what used to be called the Wacky Charo.
Mm.
She knows that she's high energy, and she can get away with saying a couple things wrong, but if she says a lot of things wrong, now she's charming and zany, and that's what she's leaning into.
Yep.
And she's certainly going to be around for a few weeks, because you don't bring someone back from having cancer and then eliminate them right away.
No, you got to get her in here, you got to tell her story. You gotta give her redemption arc, and then she goes. Now, I noticed that everyone already loves her.
Yep.
Because during the cheerleader thing, she made panties for everyone.
Yeah.
When they had to do that. We'll get back to that.
So far, everyone on Drag Race is smart enough to be as nice as possible to everyone. I think that's going to change because in Untucked, Charlie was a little rude to Eureka, and that might blow up into something.
Well, that's true. Let's see, what else happened on this episode? Oh, Lisa Kudrow dropped by for no reason.
Yeah, she's not a judge. She didn't stop by Untucked the way Lady Gaga did. She just came by at the beginning of the episode, did a couple lines from the comeback, and got out.
Uh-huh, because RuPaul was apparently a fan.
Now,
of the comeback.
Yeah. I think the reason Lisa Kudrow is on Drag Race should be Romy and Michelle's high school reunion, which seems more on theme and is great.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all talking about the comeback. And then she got out.
So they're going to do a cheerleader challenge. They pick teams.
Weirdly, VH1 had just finished airing Bring It On immediately before this episode.
It's like they know.
They know Bring It On's a great movie.
So, weirdly enough, one of the people picked earlier for the teams was actually James Mansfield.
Yeah.
Because everyone is trying to make him be okay with this.
Trying so hard.
But James is in so far over his head. Like, there's nothing against him, but he's from a smaller town, and they don't have this same kind of drag as he does, and it's...
When they were assigning roles for their team, everybody's first thought was, let's give James Snoozy. And James was like, I don't want to do Snoozy. Oh, but I think you could really do well at Snoozy. I don't want to do... So in the first few rounds of rehearsals, James was doing Floozy, which was the final one. That's the big punchy...
The big punchline, yeah. And I'm a floozy.
I'm a floozy. And just could not nail it, had the timing wrong.
He had no rhythm, he had no timing, he could not even... He's like, and I'm the floozy.
Yeah, so...
And if you're calling yourself James Mansfield, you had best know how to be a floozy.
Frankly, I thought he came off more like Manny Van Doren. Now, that's a joke about the relative classiness of two Marilyn Monroe knockoffs.
It's true.
I really stand by
it. And you can say whatever you want about Mamie Van Doren, but she's still kicking.
Oh, listen, Mamie Van Doren would come in and kick this show's ass.
She would, but they'd have to film it through like a piece of sanded plexiglass.
Mamie Van Doren was a drag queen way before any of these people.
That's true.
Now, I do have to retract something I said last week, where I was going on about how I wish there was no eliminations, we could just have everybody every week. It did not occur to me that if they made that change, we would have no lip-syncing for your life.
And lip-syncing for your life is great.
So, I'm out of that.
So, what... I've got more notes here.
Go for it. My notes are mostly just, there is more cheerleader practice in this than in all of Bring It On.
Yes. They had to do some cheerleading stuff, and Kimora was the most awful person ever. She didn't know what the word bloomers meant. Eureka talks about how she has to sew all of her own costumes as she's rhinestoning. She's like, I'm tired of this. And Kimora's like, don't you just pay people to do that? She's just awful. She was so awful.
Oh, a fun thing. When people were picking teams, Eureka was picked pretty early, and I thought that was great.
I did, too. She was good, too.
Especially then we found out that this cheerleading would involve the more athletic kind of cheerleading, where people are being tossed in the air and stood on people's shoulders and stuff.
Right.
Mostly that was the littler queens, Kimora or Pheromone.
Yeah. It was... The cheerleading challenge involved doing cheers and some... what they call tumbling.
Yeah, everybody had to do a tumbling run, which was an awkward somersault
or
a cartwheel.
Or, awkward.
If you got it, the splits.
Yeah. Who did the splits? One of them did the splits. Eureka did the splits and said she felt her knee go out. But they didn't mention it again this episode, but I have a feeling it's like Chekhov's knee. You can't mention a knee going out in one episode and not pay it off later.
Yeah.
Let's see. Then their runway challenge was White Party.
Which Kimora did not do. Like, her outfit was mostly white, but also there was...
There was a red, white, and blue bikini top peeking. It was like a white shirt, or a white bodysuit, I guess, that was slit open across the chest so that her enormous fake breastplate, which I'm getting pretty tired of seeing anyway, which was wearing a skin-tight... red, white, and blue American flag bikini top could poke out through there. Yeah. It was, everyone else was wearing all white. Shea Coulee had a cage dress thing, like a cage dress shirt that was from, it looked like the Jean-Paul Gaultier 89 Spring Summer collection, because that's when he did all those cage dresses.
Sure.
So it was from the 80s.
I totally recognize
that. But it
that.
Also had kind of a Grace Jones body painting by Keith Haring feel.
Nah, I'm on board with that one.
Yeah.
I get that one.
So was that.
The guest judges were the B-52s.
Yay!
Or at least the three B-52s anybody knows.
Aw.
Well, Keith Strickland was apparently in the band.
Yeah, I know.
Fred Schneider made a comment about how he watched Jane Mansfield on the Match Game, which threw us until we remembered that the Match Game actually started in the 60s.
Right. We're familiar with the drunken madness of the 1970s Match Game. I had no idea that Jane Mansfield was doing drunken madness on the Match Game in the 60s, and now I've got to know.
It was less drunk back then. It was more of a, can you actually match the stars?
Yeah, well.
Before you had your Richard Dawson's and Brett Summers's and Charles Nelson's Riley to class the joint up.
Let's see. Valentina looked great, but they told her they didn't like her shoes because they were new white.
Valentina kind of got some guff in the workroom for praying to a Jesus candle. Which,
it was the Virgin of Guadalupe.
Which is not super classy of everyone, as that is not a weird...
It's not like you're praying to a George Carlin candle. Like, the Virgin of Guadalupe is a thing.
Like, I don't do that. A lot of people do.
And
so
you shouldn't be making fun of them for it, because it's an actual religious thing.
But then Valentina looked exactly like yeah. somebody who prays to that. Like, she had the perfect makeup, just the right flowers in her hair. It was great.
She was wearing a wedding gown. She looked like a picture from a wedding catalog.
Yeah.
It was absolutely beautiful. And she did very good in the cheering as well.
Yeah. The bottom two were James and Kimora, which is awkward because, just as everyone on the show, everyone watching feels so bad for James for being out of her depth. But
at the same time, you're out of your depth and you're not going to win this show.
Yeah, I don't like Kimora, but Kimora's way better at this.
Mm-hmm. Although James did kill it in the lip sync. I thought James did a better lip sync, but I also thought he needed to go home.
Yeah.
I just felt bad for him every time I saw him. He seemed like he was lacking confidence, like he was scared to be there.
He didn't.
Like maybe it was his first time in a big city. I don't know.
He didn't pop at all, and this is a show all about popping.
Pop.
So that's it for James Mansfield. And we're looking forward to next week. Still a great show. The Untucked was great.
Oh, yeah. I haven't mentioned notes on Untucked. Yeah, Untucked was good. That's where we found out that Cynthia was beloved because she made panties for the whole cheerleading team.
Cynthia grabbed focus by doing a trick that Paul F. Tompkins does a lot, where while someone else is talking, you start saying something.
Well, I felt like it was...
Shut up for a second. Hey, everybody, it's me!
Yes, she actually said, shut up, and I thought it was really funny.
She said, everyone shut up for a second. It's me, let's talk about my cuckoo! And everybody enjoyed it. Later, Charlie, who was the other person in the bottom three, was convinced he was going home.
Charlie was freaking out the whole time.
Cannot get over the fact
that he's 50.
Even though Charlie Hides does not look 52, especially not underneath the 3 inches of white face.
I gotta get me 3 inches of white face then.
So while Eureka was talking, which Eureka does constantly, Charlie said, shut up for a second. And not in the fun way. And Eureka was just kind of like, What just happened?
Did you just tell me to shut up?
Well, you're talking over everyone. Eureka accurately pointed out, everybody in this room talks over everyone all the time. So that might...
But then they all started bonding over how hard the cheer challenge was.
Yeah. Mostly the Untucked so far have been everybody bonding over, we're all here together in this crazy situation. Isn't this crazy? Which I like to see. I like the idea that when people are done with the competition, they're like, yeah, season 9 sisters, we have a bond.
Yeah, and I liked when they went back onto the stage as they were leaving the room. Each one of them looked at the others and told them something nice.
Yeah, it's like, you look so great. Your hair is beautiful.
Your hair is perfect. You're going to be fine out there.
Yeah,
that And they all said that to each other, and it was really sweet, and seemed like a real moment.
Yeah.
So I liked that.
I really like Untucked this season.
Untucked has been great this season. It's not on TV, it's online, but it's absolutely worth looking for and watching.
Yeah, they're not, so far at least, not doing any of the drama-building things. It's not like, put your hand in the big pink box. Oh, it's a video from your family. No. Your father's finally going to accept you. It's just...
You're basically just watching them in the back room while the judges deliberate.
Yeah. It's really... It's fun. Like,
yeah.
I might like Untucked more than the actual Drag Race at this point.
Oh, you gotta have them together. They're the perfect team.
Well, you can't watch Untucked without Drag
Race. No, because who the hell are these people? Yeah. What are they talking about?
All right, now, Cosplay Melee.
Yay, Cosplay Melee!
This week, what was the theme, Rias?
Angels and demons.
So you're saying everybody dressed up like Tom Hanks?
I wish.
I warned her I was going to make that joke.
Yeah, I wish you hadn't made that joke is what I was starting to say, but I was interrupted.
So, angels and demons, they were assigned randomly, which meant the people who wanted to do demons but were assigned angels had to say, I'm making a fallen angel.
Yeah.
No
one did that, though. Really.
Marty did.
I mean, Garrick. Oh, Marty.
I mean Marty.
Marty, the book lady.
Marty was the one who came out in a skull t-shirt, but she works for a party and princess company, kind of dressing up like Elsa for sick kids or something.
Well, for well kids. It's like having a clown at your party, except you get a princess, and you're not allowed to be Elsa. You have to be Elisa because of copyright reasons.
She is Snow Queen or something. But yeah. I like that she clearly... isn't a princess person at heart, but it does let her costume.
Yeah.
Then you have Lisa. She is a theater costumer. I liked her a lot.
She only makes original character costumes for cosplaying, except that then when they show her...
She had kind of an operatic Harley Quinn.
She had kind of a cool Harley Quinn. Enormous fake breasts.
Yeah.
On Harley, not on Lisa. But they seem to go with the costume, so...
Yeah. There was Garrick, who is the token dude.
He is an armor. What do I have about Eric? He's from Phoenix. Garrick is from Phoenix and wants to be Batman. That's all my notes say. He doesn't.
One of his costumes was Martin Freeman from Half-Life, specifically with the crowbar that you get at the beginning of the game and throw away 10 minutes into the game as soon as you can find a gun.
I can see that. Garrick looks like he could do a Martin Freeman kind of character. He's sort of an... sort of an everyman-looking dude. Not in a bad way.
Right. And, but, I mean, that's good if you're going to be putting on costumes.
Yeah, you need that. You don't want it to look... Yeah.
And then there was Jessie, who is a kind of steampunk lady. I suspect she dresses up as at least one Doctor Who.
I suspect that she was dressed as at least one Doctor Who on the show.
She had a dress based on the Alien Queen that I liked the head part. The torso seemed kind of thrown together, but then she had a purse that was a little
the handle alien. On the purse was a little face hugger holding a box. I want that purse.
Yeah, that part was
great. That was pretty adorable.
So they were assigned angels and demons. Jessie said she was going to make stone wings.
Right.
Which is really kind of a gargoyle thing.
Well, her demon had surrendered its wings in order to save the people of Earth. And the people of Earth had responded by building her new wings out of stone.
Which isn't how wings work, people of Earth. You're not helping.
Yeah, also, wouldn't that suck to have to drag these heavy wings around all the time because people of Earth made them for you?
Yeah, I picture...
What is that, people of Earth? You don't have PVC?
I picture that angel always having to be like, no, thanks. Yeah, I love these. Ugh, that's the sound of her dragging them from place to place. I used to be able to fly. Marty made a fallen angel... Garrick was basing his on these Art Deco angels they have in at the Hoover Dam.
Which was kind of cool. He wanted to make big wings that were made out of metal blades.
Yeah, they look kind of like the X-Men angel when he has those metal wings.
Yeah. They were pretty cool. They were going to be Art Deco. And Lisa decided that she was going to be the demon of pestilence.
Yeah.
And so...
The neat thing she was doing is she was making four wings instead of two, which
And they had bone structure. You could see the bones sticking out of them. They were kind of vulture-y wings. Yeah.
I like the four wings because it looks more unearthly to me.
Right.
It looks like a cherubim ought to look to me.
Yeah. A lot of wings and eyeballs.
Yeah. So everybody made wing harness for the round one. Everybody made wing harnesses out of PVC pipe.
Let's see. Jesse's wings were made out of carved foam.
Yeah,
there's... Marty's wings were huge.
Oh, yeah. She was going for like 12-foot
wingspan. She was going for like a 12-foot wingspan. And instead of making the individual feathers out of what you would normally make the feathers out of, which would be EVA or foam core or something, she made them out of the pages of a book that was supposed to represent the Bible.
I hit pause because I could see that chapter 11 was called The Dragonflies, and that let me look it up. The answer is she cut up The Amber Spyglass by Philip Pullman and called it the Bible.
That's fine. It's kind of religious. It's got a lot of religious overtones in it. It'll do.
Yeah. The feathers were usually pretty randomly applied by all of these people. Like,
yeah,
especially after Face Off, where Glenn Hetrick is always concerned about accurate anatomy.
Yeah, these were not anatomically correct.
Some of the feathers, I thought, some people used real feathers, but I was convinced that they were put on backwards, so the part that normally faces the bird is now facing out.
Well, I don't think that's right. I think that that's the way it is when a bird spreads its wings. You see that side of the, you see the underside of the feathers.
Possible, but we can agree that some of the feathers were just pointing in the wrong direction.
Yeah, some of the feathers were pointing in the wrong direction, but feathers are really hard to do. It takes a lot of time to cut them out and glue them on, and the fact that they even finished the wings was pretty much amazing to me.
For a while, I thought Jessie's plan of making stone wings was a good idea because she just had to sort of sculpt the texture of wings onto wing forms, but she went home first.
Yeah, she didn't have time to paint those wing forms.
So then in round two, they were told these wings have to actually move somehow, and they were given mechanisms. There was a pneumatic mechanism, a linear actuator mechanism, and springs. Well, there were.
Oh, during the judging for the wings, Liana recused herself.
Oh, yeah. I really like that. Because Liana has worked with Lisa
before.
And that's the only time on one of these shows anyone's ever recused themselves.
It's like, I'm friends with Lisa. I can't weigh in on this. Like, which I thought was pretty cool.
On Face Off, a lot of times V. Neal has worked with someone, and she still judges them. Or like on So You Think You Can Dance, the judges have always worked with the dancers. They don't care. But on this one, actual standards. I was so excited to see that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So for round two, they have to make their wings movable as well as build the rest of their cosplay.
Yeah. And both Marty and Garrick had weird... One of them had the pneumatic thing and one of them had the linear actuator.
Yeah, had an linear actuator.
And they were trying to figure out how to do it by pulling strings that attach to the outer end of their wings.
Yeah, and it was all
And it
failing.
Would sort ideally work sort of like a extendable boxing glove. And they couldn't figure it out. Marty thought of using a stiff piece of metal to push out.
Uh-huh.
And even before she tested it, she turned to Garrick and said, "This might help you. I think I figured out what's wrong.
She's like, here's how you get this to work.
And it did work.
It did work. It worked pretty well for her.
That's what they were doing in the first day of round two. During that day, Lisa was sewing something. And I think this is the first time we've actually seen somebody go deep on the sewing.
And bring a sewing machine out and
she
get
brought
on it.
Two sewing machines.
Yeah, they were under her table. One was a sewing machine. I think one was a serger.
Yeah. Like
I'm not sure.
We've seen sewing machines used, but... This is cosplay. Some people, like Lisa, sew costumes together.
Mm-hmm.
And
she made a corset.
And that's where she starts from and then adds props. And she did, and it looked good.
Yeah. It wasn't a boned corset, but it was a better corset than I would have made.
And she used springs to kind of add a little flappiness to her thing.
She just was given springs. And so she had springs and The springs were attached to some strings that she could pull to make her wings move around.
Yeah.
Her wings were my favorite because they were big and ratty, and they had bones sticking out of them, and the tips of the feathers were covered in green glitter, which one of the judges hated. But then when he saw it with the rest of the costume, he came around to my
He didn't like the black and green effect at first, but once it was done and she had the whole black, green, and purple color scheme, it all worked, and he was very pleased to see it. Which I liked for him to say, you didn't take my note, I can see why now, and this works. Because sometimes you'll see a judge get mad that you didn't do what they said.
I liked Lisa a lot, but she really reminded me of that girl, that crazy girl in Real Genius.
What do you mean, but? That crazy girl in Real Genius is awesome.
She is awesome, but that's the prototype for Lisa.
So Garrick had very slow unfurling wings, and he didn't have feathers. They were basically
fan blades.
Five struts that very slowly opened
up. Right, and they were made out of, not craft foam, they were made out of...
looked like sheet metal.
Foam core.
Yeah.
That he covered with silver tape.
And that part looked okay. But also he made a sword and the guard was covered in tinfoil and it looked like
It looked like a sword I would have made for a school play when I was 7.
Yeah, that prop didn't
And
help
his
him.
Armor didn't fit him correctly and rode way too far up on his chest. He was trying to do a thing that I've seen done before where you spray mount, you spray it on your EVA foam, and then you stretch fabric over it, and you get a really cool, smooth finish. And it's super shiny because you've used shiny fabric. But what he did was he just left it in wrinkles and spray mounted it down and tried to pretend that that was a pattern in the metal, and it was not.
Yeah, I think he may have just been in too big a hurry.
Well, yeah, because it took him so long to deal with those wings that he didn't have time to focus on the other stuff.
Now, Marty's wings opened up huge. I don't think the actuator worked properly because we never actually saw it happen. The moment they started to open, they cut to their little video package and they cut back.
And the wings were deployed.
Having said that, her wings were hilariously large.
They were massive and they were actually really gorgeous. And her armor was incredible.
Yeah, her chest plate was really cool.
It was made of Warbla. It was painted gold. It had a lot of texture pieces on it that she... Didn't she cast those texture pieces out of something really quick?
Yeah, she had like 10-minute...
resin,
10-minute resin that she then stuck to the chest plate, which she made by melting Warbla onto a mannequin form. And then she spray painted the whole thing, and it looked fantastic.
Yeah, she did a little bit of weathering on it, and it was kind of amazing.
And then Lisa came out. And so she had the four wings that I was a huge fan of. She also made these bird feet.
I love the chicken feet.
They were the size of Big Bird's feet. For some reason, the base shoe she used was stiletto heels.
Right. She's kind of a chicken demon is what we're getting. Because she had a big, a chest piece that had had bird skulls and bird bones on it.
Yeah.
Her corset had a EVA overlay, which had been painted white. It was, and looked like a rib cage coming out. And she was wearing a hoop skirt.
Yeah. The
that she had cut the fabric off of, so it was just the hoops.
Just the cage. It was hard for her to walk because she had these giant bird feet, and she's on stiletto heels instead of comfortable shoes, and she's inside that cage. But that actually worked for me because it meant she had to pull her foot up and jerk it forward.
And that made the wings...
Yeah.
Yeah, she was pretty scary looking. Her makeup was great, too.
Instead of looking awkward when she walked, she looked like a bird walking.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked really well.
And Leanna was still recused, and Lisa won, and we were delighted for her.
Yeah. Yeah, the only other note I have is that I felt really bad for the lady with the giant wings. For Marty. Because it was obvious that the contact lenses she was wearing were killing her.
Yes.
Like, every time they drew a picture of her face, you would see tears running down it, which probably worked for the Fallen Angel character, but they made me feel so bad for her. I was like, finish the judging. Let her get those out of her eyes.
So that, that I felt was a pretty satisfying week of television.
It was.
Like, the right person went home on Face Off. I liked Evan, but sorry. The right person probably went home on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, again, James needed to go home. He wasn't happy, and it was killing me. I felt bad for him.
And since Cosplay Melee is a short-form show rather than long-form, it's about who wins rather than who loses, and I was really rooting for Lisa, and I was glad she won.
Me too. I think that I'd like to see stronger male... Like, the last two episodes have had really weak male competitors. Yeah. But the first one had that amazing guy.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see... I hope that in future weeks we can get more skillful male competitors.
Well, we're not good at things.
I know, honey. I know, it's very hard to be a man.
We can't be expected to compete.
In this culture.
So that's going to do it for this week. Next week, we will be covering Face Off, Drag Race, Cosplay Melee, and Forged in Fire. We're very excited about that.
I'm so excited about Forged in Fire. It's shameful.
Until next week, please don't judge us by the things you saw us say. Judge us by what we meant to say.
Okay. Don't judge us by what we watch. Judge us by how we watch.
Oh, I like that.